Bone-chilling greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of my good friend Bobby Mackey and Storyblocks, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Way back in the 30s, in the little town of Wilder, lived an old man and his lovely little daughter. They ran gambling for a living. It was the best place around. All the men would come and lay their money down.
Thanks for stopping by, making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from a castle nestled in the Colorado mountains to a yacht at sea, from Paris, Texas to Paris, France, from the Bermuda Triangle to Times Square to the Arctic Circle and everything in between. It is greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout out goes to
Rabat, Morocco, White Lake, Michigan, Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, Rosario, Argentina, Suginami, Japan, and Perth, Scotland. Today I have an amazing guest joining me, Daniel Bishop. He's the oldest son of Jim Bishop and has spent much of his life connected to Bishop Castle on his father's extraordinary dream. Daniel has carried on the responsibility of caring for the castle since his father became ill with Parkinson's around 2018. Jim asked Daniel to continue looking after the castle and to keep it welcoming to visitors. Now, after Jim passed away in 2024, Daniel knew that his purpose was to keep his father's dream alive. Today, he remains humbly dedicated to preserving Bishop Castle, welcoming visitors, and carrying forward the legacy his father built. Daniel plans to continue that mission for the rest of his life. Now, for my fellow Coloradoans, you guys know about our beloved Bishop Castle. It's a great place. I really, truly recommend going there. And I just love the fact that Dan Bishop is fulfilling his father's last wish. Take care of this place, son. Keep it open for people. Welcome people. And that's what they've been doing for decades. And so I went for the very first time last year. I had been wanting to go. It's like every year, okay, I'm going to go. And then just life happened, busyness happened. But we made ourselves go last year and we were not disappointed. And it's one of those places that you leave planning your next trip, right? It's like, when are we going back there? And so actually today, August 31st, is my mother's birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. And we actually are planning to go and celebrate her birthday and take her to Bishop Castle because she has never been before. So it's going to be really fun. I'm recording this, of course, before the 31st, and our plan is to go on the 30th. So fingers crossed that we got to go. But without further delay, let me please welcome Dan Bishop. So today I have Daniel Bishop with me. Dan, thank you so much for joining me on this fine summer day. Welcome to Paranormal Prowlers podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, pleasure is absolutely all mine. So Dan, your family have the much beloved and respected Colorado landmark, which is Bishop Castle. And I'd really like to hear more about the creator, the man who had a vision of this castle and made it a reality, your father, Jim Bishop.
Well, that's a big subject.
Yeah.
you know, it could start out, he was a kind of a sickly kid that had, from what I understand, because I wasn't around yet, had a kidney disorder and started out a hard life, wasn't expected to survive. And his mother saved him and by just making him drink a lot of fluid. But that led to kind of a bit of an inferiority complex, you know, being different from other kids' situation that ultimately led to him buying a piece of property at 15.
Wow, he was 15 years old?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
and that was in 59. He had $500 in the bank that he had made, saved up mowing lawns and doing odd jobs around the neighborhood. In 59, $500 was a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure. Wow.
The property was like $1,500 or $2,500. He put the $500 down and then did payments on it to get it paid off. But that it says a lot about him just at 15 that he was able to do that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Absolutely. I mean, when I was 15-year-old, I mean, that's a lot of control right there. I could not save money to save my life. I like would spend it on anything and everything. And to be a young man saving your money like that, and then put it towards something amazing, which is still going on today, that's impressive.
Well, it was just the initial, what you could initially say about his character that ultimately led to building the castle. He was very driven, and one of the things that drove him more than anything was if somebody acted like he couldn't do it. Part of the reason why the castle exists today is because a lot of people in the early years treated him in a manner where it wouldn't really amount to nothing, like he was crazy for what he was dreaming of doing. And that drove him to build it more than probably anything else, just to show people that he could do what he said he was going to do.
Well, good for him. Absolutely. And it's still going strong today, welcoming people. And I absolutely love Bishop Castle. I'm so excited to be talking about this. So, you know, this Bishop Castle kind of reminds me, when it comes to building it, of the Winchester House in San Jose, California, where Sarah Winchester, she just kept adding things to it and construction went on for decades, except she had crews of people doing this, not her, where your father, he did all of this by himself. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was all by himself and it grew as it went along just like that. He was a fan of the Winchester House. I think he'd been there once.
Nice.
He used to talk about it.
It's a neat, unique place. I used to live near San Jose and we went there several times. And if we didn't have enough time to do the actual house, they have just an impressive garden outside where you could walk around the property. But you just gotta love and respect that kind of structure. And that kind of reminds me of Bishop Castle, is just how much love was put into it. And he was like a one-man show. And again, that's just so impressive. So Dan, how long did it take for your dad to actually build this iconic castle?
He started building the Rock Cottage in June of 69. In the spring or early June, of 1973 is when he started adding on to the cottage and it became the Bishop Castle. And then he worked all the way up to about 2020 when I had to basically take his driving privileges away because the Parkinson's he was losing his motor skills and getting into trouble driving. So it was 61 years of working tirelessly at it, continuous. The early 15 years was just weekends in the summertime.
Yeah.
It's always been seasonal because there isn't much you can do in rock work in the winter. It's too cold, the concrete freezes, but that's when he would do a lot of the iron work.
Wow. Yeah, it's when we went there last year, I was just in awe. You know, I mean, just the drive alone. We came from Pueblo, and so just the drive, once you get off I-25 and you're like winding up in the mountains, it kind of reminds me of going to Creed. Just the everywhere you look, it's like a postcard view just headed to the location itself, you know? And it's just so phenomenal. We're planning on going again really soon.
Yeah, it looks a little different now, but it'll be back to beautiful real quick.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That awe that you describe of driving into the mountains is what drew him toward to the location when he was a kid. He wanted to get out of the Pueblo and into the mountains, but he would ride his 3-speed bicycle from Pueblo to Lake Isabel, which is a 36 mile trip, and spend the weekend at the lake. And some old guy up there said, "Hey, I got a piece of property over here you might be interested in." And so he was riding a bicycle from Pueblo into the mountains.
Wow.
Before he was buying a property, and he was doing it on him and a neighbor friend. So if he bought the property when he was 15, he was riding into the mountains at 13 or 14 years old. But, you know, today that would be considered child abuse.
Yeah, really. No, that's amazing. Wow. Well, it seems like he was ahead of his years for sure. Just like very mature for being such a young man, and gotta love it. And I could see why he was drawn to that area. It's just, you're in nature and you just feel so at peace. Was he born in Pueblo, Dan?
He was born in Hawaii, but moved to Pueblo when he was 6 months old.
Okay. So wow.
My grandfather was in the Navy at Pearl Harbor when he met my grandmother, and then they had a child, and they shipped out of the Navy right before the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
No way. Wow. Wow. I just got chills when you said that. That's amazing.
I think it was right before. It could be the period of time between them leaving Hawaii and Pearl Harbor. I'm not real certain of, but it was not a long time.
Yeah, that's amazing. It just kind of makes you think like how, like my grandpa, he was in World War II. And I tell you, there's so many times just reading his journals and the things that he had seen and been through. I'm like, how did this man survive this war? You know, the deadliest war conflict in human history. How did that happen? And I'm like, wow, if he didn't survive, I wouldn't be here. So many people wouldn't be here. And so kind of like the same with your grandpa, like your dad wouldn't be. I mean, I just kind of think about the weird stuff like that, but that's amazing.
Yep.
Dan, in 1988, your family endures pure heartbreak and go through something that no family should ever have to go through, and that's the loss of a child, your brother. And I'm truly, truly sorry for your family's loss. People wondered why your father continued to build on the site. Like, is it safe to say that one of the reasons, besides the beautiful area, that he continued to do this was because your brother loved the area so much?
Well, that's definitely a part of it, but my dad had, he was a family man, but the building castles was everything to him. He didn't teach me to fish. I didn't go hunting with him. Mm. He didn't have time for me. And I love the mountain. My brother loved the mountain. But the reality of it is, and this will fit into your paranormal podcast better than wouldn't expect to hear this out of me, but I think the castle would sit here right now if my dad had never existed, because I believe that there's an entity on the mountain here that when my dad was riding by on his bicycle, it said, "You're it. You're going to build me." And my dad became the tool to create the entity that is, we call it Bishop Castle. I've never really tried to put a name to what that entity is, but I firmly believe that there's a power that exists here on this spot that built the castle through my dad.
I like that. Wow, that's powerful stuff. And I totally can see that, you know, being in that area, and that's really interesting. So do you think that, have people ever approached you saying, "Hey, is this place haunted? And, you know, I felt something," or anything like that?
Oh yeah, there's been hauntings here. My little brother was on the property until my mother died.
Wow.
After mom died, I don't feel any of them here anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of strange, and maybe it's just because they decided I needed to be left alone, and they're still here. But my mom was spent the last years of her life just wanting to be with my brother again. And I believe that when she passed, they were able to move on.
Wow, I just got chills when you said that. So Dan, how old was your brother when he passed away?
He was 5. I was 15.
Oh, wow. So that was a big difference. Jeez. Okay. I didn't know, like, if you guys were really close to age, but wow. So do you mind me asking what happened? Like, how did that happen?
Well, so this has been a big story of my life because when I was young, I got into doing everything else around here because my dad was building castles and we burn wood for heat. Even in the house in Pueblo, we burn wood. And I got my first chainsaw when I was 13.
Mm.
And I would haul the firewood, started driving the truck when I was 13, and I would haul the firewood. Well, I was cutting a windblown tree with a chainsaw, and the stump was out of the ground. And when I cut the tree loose from the stump went back in the ground, and my little brother was playing in the hole and was smashed by the stump of the tree.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm so sorry. Oh, well, I know his memory truly lives on with Bishop Castle, and I hope you have some peace that your mother and father and brother are together. And
oh yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And so you said that you knew your brother, his spirit was there after he had passed. Are there any, how did you know he was there? Besides, I know, obviously, feeling the presence. Was there anything else that would happen that you're like, okay, that's my brother, totally?
Well, as you can probably imagine, I went through a pretty hard decade or 15 years after that of being quietly blaming myself for it, and being semi-suicidal and just a totally reckless kid.
Yeah.
And I've had situations in driving like a maniac in my car that there's no evidence of why I didn't end up over the cliff other than something to stop the car from going over the cliff.
Mm.
Many times I do 100 miles an hour on a windswept, frozen, snowy road and going around a turn, spinning, doing circles and following the turn. Normally you would just slide right off of the road. For a long time, I believed that my brother was here just to make sure I didn't die.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, I mean, like he was like your protector. Like, okay, this is insane. Stop blaming yourself. This was not your fault. I hope as a grown man now that you know that, I mean, accidents happen and it's just so heartbreaking when, you know, they're to that extent. But I'm glad that you are still here, and it seems like now your parents and brother together are watching over you, and I'm sure they're as proud as ever that you're still there and taking care of Bishop Castle and holding down the fort, as they say, and that, I mean, that's very special.
Yeah. I've made peace with all of it really well. I have a sense of serenity in my life today that I wouldn't have ever been able to accomplish without the crazy shit I've done and the places that I've taken myself and the dumb situations I've gotten into and the recklessness and all that. It takes a lot to phase me anymore. I just pretty much at peace, and being able to keep the castle operating the way it always has been is something very, very strong that I want to be able to accomplish. You know, I don't want to charge people to see it. I'm not here to try to make money, get rich. I want to live a comfortable life. I want to try to be simple, but yet have the things that I need to enjoy myself. And currently it works pretty well like that. The financial end of it leaves a lot to be desired. But the only reason why I would need more money is because I got things that I want to have that I probably don't really need. So I just try to concentrate on not worrying too much about what I want.
I hear you for sure. You know, one thing that I really, really enjoy about Bishop Castle, and I've only been there the one time so far, is that when you go there, you get to walk around in the castle. There's no like tour guide or, you know, there's no like somebody saying don't do this or that or whatever, but like you kind of just get to explore and, you know, go up those stairs and walk on the catwalk and just like all that stuff. And it's just so, it's so amazing. I mean, a lot of places don't do that. it's kind of like, okay, here you could see it from the outside and you know, whatever. But you really have opened up the castle to people just to truly appreciate. And I know that people are able to donate when they go there. Donations are welcome. And I'm sure that goes to the castle, goes right back into the castle, right?
The castle doesn't really make any money. We file our tax return every year. And
yeah.
Usually by the time spring comes and the winter's gone, there's nothing left to do much of anything with. We also are an engine that drives money, that drives to raise money for newborn infants that need heart surgery.
Oh.
The castle's a 501c3 tax-exempt charitable organization. And the cause that it supports are infants that need heart surgery. We rarely have much to give, but when there's something extra, it's given to a family or two every year. To what our charity basically does is it seeks out a couple family, one or two families a year, to try to support them, their bills, like their car payment or a couple months rent or groceries or whatever, because they're in the process of living in a hotel somewhere close to the hospital that's trying to save the life of their infant.
Oh my goodness. And yeah.
I wish that I could do more for that, but the reality of it is that the donation basis at the castle basically just pretty much supports the castle and the tools necessary to take care of the castle. And I'm a tool that takes care of the castle. So
some of my
expenses are paid for by the castle, you know, because it's hard to have a seasonal business and go out and have a job in the winter and then come back to this in the summer and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah, it's a shame that, I mean, I guess that's the price people have to pay or businesses have to pay when they're what I consider paradise. Some people consider beaches paradise. The mountains are my paradise. And when you have some place like Bishop Castle, where it's at, where it's going to be like no access getting there in the winter because the roads are so bad. And if you try, it is like a suicide mission. And so that, I guess that's the price that you guys have to pay, because it would be so neat to have a winter wonderland and be able to go up there. But, you know, when you go back in the springtime, I'm sure it's kind of like, oh, finally we're here again, you know?
Well, this part of the state of Colorado is not necessarily hard winters like the Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah.
I live here year round, and it's getting to where society's changing and there's more adventure seeking people, and there's a steady flow of people here year round now. So seasonal part of it is starting to dissipate. And then the modern technologies, snowplow trucks are not what they were 100 years ago.
Yeah.
They keep the roads open well. Just everything is, it's easier to live here than year round than you might imagine. But it's still, you have your summer and your winter are such stark contrasts that you have to be in the mindset of it's summer, I'm going to live like it's summer. And oh, now it's winter, I got to live like it's winter. I've always wondered why my dad didn't get into building sand castles on a beach.
Yeah.
But then you would have to deal with tsunamis and hurricanes and all that stuff that's wiping out beach property all the time anyways.
Right.
Reality is this place up here is pretty safe, temperate climate. And we've been, my entire life, I'm 53 now, and finally we have a forest fire burn through that threatened this, our property. But one forest fire in 50 years is doing pretty good when, you know, hurricanes and stuff like that happen regularly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I live in North Carolina half the year, and that's why I'm not there right now. That's why I'm in Colorado this time of year from May to November, because I do not want to have to deal with the hurricanes, Dan. I don't. And that's an every year thing. And so I totally hear you there. And we are going to talk about that insane fire in a second. But real quick, the dragon that is perched proudly on top of that castle and overlooking the mountains, it does breathe out fire. Am I right in saying that?
Yes. I have to work to fire it. I've tried to make it more automated, and my last attempt, the little igniter, didn't last very long.
Yeah.
What my dad put in there in the mouth originally was a hot air balloon burner that was just a propane fire, and it was only about 5 to 8 foot of flame, and it kind of a blue flame and hard to see in the daylight. And I, not to say it wasn't impressive, it didn't really do what I have put up in there. What I got in there now is pressurized gasoline and air that it'll put out 40 foot of flame, about 8 foot of diameter, burns about 4 gallons of gasoline in about 30 seconds.
Wow, that's impressive.
Roars like a jet engine going off.
Oh man, so when are people able to witness that? I assume it's like later in the day, or because I would love to see that. Oh my goodness.
I haven't fired it at all this year.
Gotcha.
Primarily, first of all, it's been super dry up here.
Yeah.
And normally I would do it like Saturday afternoon, Sunday. My plan was to fire it twice a weekend, once on Saturday, once on Sunday, and then a couple times on like 4th of July and other events like that. But part of my deal with being at the castle is that I enjoy the freedom that I give to the people to be able to do what they want, and I don't want to be a slave to any part of it either.
No, I get that, totally.
I happen to go out and fire the dragon every Saturday or Sunday, because in order for me to light it right now, because the igniter that I put in it didn't end up working, I got to climb up on the roof with the 20-foot stick on fire and reach out around and light the mouth of the dragon from the top of the roof. And that, it's just, you do that a couple times and you just get tired of doing it.
Yeah.
It's been an easy excuse this summer while it's too dry.
Right. No, I hear
it's
you.
Really, all it is an excuse, because I could go do it right now if I wanted to.
No, it sounds like a labor of love for sure. It's like too bad. You're like, man, I wish I just had a little remote in my hand that I could go click and boom. I don't have to go up there like, you know, several times.
I would love to have it automated to where you either put a $20 bill into a vending machine coin changer thing. And every time a 20 goes in it, it fires, burns 5 gallons worth of gasoline. Do it as a fundraiser. But I'm not the guy who has the means to design all of that. And I believe that when the time comes for it to be automated, the process of getting the automation done will step in front of me and I'll get it done at that time.
Yeah.
I just don't know anybody that could create the apparatus that would fire it.
Well, you know what, Dan? I have a lot of listeners from every state and over 138 countries and counting. So I bet you maybe if one person's listening who could go, huh, challenge accepted, I can do that.
I've really thought about taking it to the local college, the technical, like the engineering department at the local college, and see if they wanted to turn it into a class project.
That would be cool.
It's one of those things that usually I'm thinking about it when they're in the summertime. I'm thinking about it. School's out during the summertime. I got other stuff to do, and I never end up going and figuring out who to talk to about it. And then hit the winter hits again, and I'm a procrastinator. The difference between me and my dad is I dream about doing stuff more than I do it. He just did shit, and that's why the castle's there.
Right. Well, Dan, just so you know, they're back in school now, so make that phone call. So let's talk a little bit about Aspen Acres. I mean, what a hell of a fire. Over 102,000 acres. Last time I saw it was like Colorado's sixth largest fire in history, in Colorado history. I'm sure that number has changed. But how close, Dan, did Aspen Acres get to threatening Bishop Castle?
A couple hundred yards, 150, 200 yards. From the courtyard of the castle, you could do a complete 360 turn and barely spot any burn scar. But if you know what to look for, it's there. Through the trees, you can see where it burned. So, you know, there's a you've been here, you know there's a ridge all the way around, basically.
Yeah.
The castle ridges. It burned on one side, two sides, up to the top of the ridge and didn't cross, come down the ridge toward the castle.
Oh.
And so it got really close.
Too close, too close. I've been seeing it on Facebook when it was happening, and it was just so incredibly disheartening. And I was like, oh, please keep this castle safe, you know? And like I said, I had always wanted to go to Bishop Castle for years and years. And it seems like every year, since I'm only here half the year, things were always happening. But last year, my boyfriend and I were like, let's go. So we brought a friend with us, and it was just so amazing. I just fell in love with the place. And then literally days before the fire this year, we were driving past the exit, and we both looked at each other and we're like, we need to go again this year for sure. And then Aspen Acres happened. And so did you think at the beginning, at Aspen Acres infancy, that it would get that dangerously close, that it would travel that far and get so close to Bishop Castle?
Well, I've been worried about fire all year. It's been, there was no snow, there very little moisture in the spring. One of the neighbors had an old fire truck from when he had a little volunteer fire department up here. He's died, but his son and wife own the stuff now, and I've been fixing up a little fire truck to have it here for two purposes, so that when I burn the dragon, I would be able to put out a fire if I started one.
Nice.
And so that I could protect the castle if a forest fire broke out. It really wasn't an if. I was pretty sure this summer somewhere there was going to be a forest fire and that I would need to be prepared to fight it or protect what I have. And when so I was in the hospital when the fire started. I didn't have any firsthand experience with what was going on here, but I've been on the mountain my whole life, and I know where it started, and I could watch through the social media and everything how it was coming. And I would have never guessed that that fire would be one that burned up the entire mountain.
Right. Yeah, and that's right, you were in the hospital. I did see that on Facebook. Did you get injured on the property?
Yeah, I was building an addition to my concession stand and fell off the roof over a retaining wall. It took about a 24-foot fall off of the roof. Broke 8 ribs and collapsed a lung and fractured a pelvic bone. And 3 days later, the fire started.
No way. Oh, my God.
So everything I had been doing to prepare for the fire I was going to have to fight, I could just lay there in the bed thinking about what I should be doing.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, there wasn't much I was going to do.
Right. Well, so how are you feeling now? Are you okay? Are you recovering nicely, Dan?
I'm almost all healed up. Yeah, I've been working again up here. If I do too much one day, then I have to let my hip rest for a day. The day before yesterday, I had a pretty busy day. And then yesterday, I didn't have to let it rest. So I think I'm about back to life.
Yeah. Man, that's incredible that you got hurt and then you were in the hospital and then 3 days later this fire happens. And yeah, like you did all the extra measures to get that fire truck there and have a plan. And then when you needed to be there for the plan, of course, it's not like you were on vacation. You were in a hospital bed. Couldn't move, you know? So I'm so glad that you're almost fully recovered and that the castle was safe. And so you guys actually had cameras, right, throughout the property where when everybody had to evacuate, those were basically your eyes. I'm sure you watched it religiously. Was there a time where you thought maybe we might lose footage of these cameras, or did you lose, like, you know, some of the cameras, like where they weren't able to function?
So that I have some cameras on that point at the castle and off of the house I live in up here, but they're all powered by electricity. And so when the fire, the Aspen Acres fire, we believe from the best I've heard, was started by a downed power line, which took out all the power to the castle at the very beginning of the fire.
Oh.
Most of the cameras that I have up here that would have been able to say, yeah, the castle is fine right now, I can see it, working anyways. There was no internet, there was no power, blah, blah, blah. But I do have two game cameras that I monitor the local elk population and the deer, and I get pictures of mountain lions and bears and all this other stuff. But they're not right at the castle. They're off where, because there's too many people at the castle, the wildlife doesn't come into the yard. I have to put the cameras out on the mountain. And so the one camera that was basically pointed almost directly at the castle or right off to one side of it was a quarter of a mile away from the castle, maybe between an eighth and a quarter mile away from the castle. But I could watch it and I could see that that fire would be burning in front of it, and I would see the fire on the camera before it got to the castle.
Yeah.
Then there was one morning when I got up, and sometimes them cellular driven cameras, they won't connect to the network or whatever. And one morning I woke up in the hospital to see if the fire had made it to the castle yet, and it wouldn't load. I couldn't get it to come up. It displayed some out of network error that I'd never seen before. So that was one morning that was, oh boy, what happened?
Yeah.
I just waited for a couple hours and then it came on, and then you could see that the fire hadn't got here yet. But there was one night where I could see the smoke in the trees out in front, and I knew that the fire was within a couple hundred yards of the castle at that moment. And then on Facebook, the Aspen Acres fire and the Watch Duty app, they made an announcement that the fire was within 200 yards of the castle. And I knew they were telling the truth because I was watching it.
Right. Yeah, no exaggeration necessary, that's for sure. Wow. Well, I know those firefighters, they did a hell of a job. Just, they went above and beyond. And on the off chance there are any of them, you know, actually, I just saw one yesterday, a firefighter. I went to Dairy Queen to get a blizzard, and I asked him, did you fight the Aspen Acres? And he's like, oh yeah, I sure did. And I'm like, you know, is it still active? I was like, on the app, I see that it's been 72% for weeks. And he said, yeah, it's still active. We're having it kill that beetle kill. He was talking about how there were really no roads, and so it was really hard for them. And so they're just like trying to let it do its thing. But if there's any firefighters out there listening, is there anything, any message you want to say to them?
Well, mainly that they were here watching my place when I couldn't. I've been all over the mountain, and I've seen what they've done for a lot of the other properties up here. And I had mitigated around the castle well enough that they didn't have to put much structure protection effort into taking care of the castle. Because what I have done here far exceeds what they would have done if the forest had been grown right up to the castle. But I'm very grateful for the fact that they were here watching it. And it did manage to spot, the fire did manage to cross the highway behind the castle and start another part on fire. And they did put that out.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
So they stopped the progression of the fire at the castle on up the mountain, which my backyard and what I enjoy up here is intact. So thank you for saving the mountain that I play in.
Wow, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing. They do such an amazing job. And when the 10 years or more than 10 years, probably, when the South Fork and Creed fires were happening, I lived in the area at that time. And it was just, I had met so many firefighters like going through, you know, they come from different states, and I had met this one man. My mom had a cafe and they would always go in and get, you know, espresso or sandwich or whatever. And it was pretty amazing. I met this one guy from California, firefighter, and he was sleeping in his truck. I know that like there's camps and stuff and some of them have campers, but some of them are just like straight up sleeping in the trucks. And so we actually adopted him and he lived with us for like 2 or 3 weeks. And it was so much fun. We really made a nice friend out of that. But it's amazing, all the work they do. And I know there was a goat that kind of became famous, right?
Yeah. I've seen the goat.
What's her name?
I don't remember, but I've seen the goat.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's pretty comical stuff. Dan, you guys are back and open, am I right?
Well, I hesitate to use the word open at Bishop Castle because that's what you do to a business where you're trying to make money. You open the door and blah, blah, blah. Bishop Castle is it's a different situation here. We don't have insurance. We don't charge. We don't fit any normal open thing. What we don't do is chase people off that want to enjoy what's here. And the only reason why the castle was ever what you would call closed is because you couldn't get to it on the highways that would bring you here.
Right.
And if somebody wanted to get on their hiking boots and put their backpack on and march up the mountain from Beulah, they could have visited it all they wanted. And reality of it is the place was covered with firefighters. There were firefighters signing our guest book and putting donations in the donation box and taking pictures of themselves on top of the castle.
It was never closed.
The people that were able to get here were visiting it. So once the highway opened back up, it's just been business as usual in the sense that if you were driving by and you want to come traipse around on my castle, I'm not going to chase you off.
Nice.
If you enjoy yourself, leave a donation. We appreciate it. That's the attitude at Bishop Castle. And I hesitate to use terms of open and closed here because that represents the Western philosophy of let's make money and, you know, turn it into something commercial and trap people into spending money with us, right? And I'm not driven to get the money out of people. It's not where my heart is.
Yeah.
I want to give people an opportunity to enjoy something they're never going to see anywhere else. And if it's worth something to you, we appreciate the donation.
Absolutely. Like I said, my mom's, well, actually, the day this will be released is August 31st, and that's my mom's birthday. And so we were planning, I was like, you know, we've done Creed a lot. We've done Salida a lot. I was like, but I don't think you've ever been to Bishop Castle. And so I'm thinking on the 29th, we're going to head up that way. Now, it is interesting because on the highway, they do have these signs saying, stay on highway, forest roads are closed. But we're going to take that exit and we'll go. And I hope that we will see you there.
Well, the best thing to do is send a message, text this number. And as long as I don't have plans where I'm not on the property, I'll look for you.
I'm
the behind the scenes kind of caretaker that I prefer to be off in the background doing stuff. And rarely am I right out there in the middle of everything. I when I have to do something, I am. But it's not always easy to come to the castle and find me.
Right.
But if I know you're coming, I'll be findable.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a plan. I'll definitely do that. And your dad, is it safe to say he was kind of like a social butterfly? Like I saw people posting stuff from years back saying, oh yeah, we would go and we would talk to him and he would just like talk and talk and talk about the castle and all of that.
So he was an egotist. He wanted people to know what he had done. He wanted the credit for what he has done.
Yeah.
And so he would get out there, make sure people knew who he was, and he would engage it because he wanted to be known as Jim Bishop, the castle builder. He didn't even care if you knew that his name was Jim Bishop. He just wanted you to know he was the castle builder.
Yeah.
And the difference between me and him is I am not the castle builder, and I've never tried to fill his shoes.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the ego of being able to say that I build a castle is something I'll never have. I'm the castle caretaker now, and I'm going to build what I want to build around here, and I'm going to take care of whatever I have to for what he's done. But I'll never be the castle builder. And honestly, people who come here to see Bishop Castle, I don't want them to start making the assumption that I did most of it for one reason or another. And we were talking a little earlier about, you were talking about how it's different. You can come in here and just visit the castle and there's no tours and you're just allowed to wander around freely in the place. I take it to a whole nother level. I'm not really all that interested in telling the story to the people who come here. I like the intrigue of what is this about that leaves the people questioning why it would exist. And I like the idea because this is the castle my dad, his imagination gone wild created it, right? And I like the people to be able to let their imagination for why it's here go crazy. Come up with your own story. Go out and tell people whatever you want about it. I don't care. Just use your imagination, make it something interesting and exciting, and let people know they can think whatever they want about it, because that's what freedom is, the ability to think whatever you want. I kind of lost my train of thought there where I was going with that question, that answer, but I would rather not really try to make sure everybody knows the whole story.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea of the freedom of imagination being here as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. I could appreciate that.
If my dad had built a set of blueprints, if he'd have drawn a set of blueprints in 1969 when he started building the Rock Cottage, Bishop Castle would probably not exist because his imagination would have been reined in by that drawing.
Right. Yeah.
And so what is there is actually a result of his imagination and not a plan.
No, that is neat. And I mean, you definitely got to respect the guy. I mean, he had a dream and he made it a reality, and there enter Bishop Castle, and just brings a lot of smiles and memories to people. And that's really, really a neat thing for sure. Now, I did see some comments on social media about people regarding Aspen Acres fire, going back to that real quick, that they said that, oh, well, Jim Bishop was looking over the castle. I mean, the firefighters, of course, did their thing, but of course, he wouldn't let anything happen at the castle. He was definitely there watching over it. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, he would. His whole story all through life is that with the help of his two hands and the help of God, the castle was built. He was a team player with God. And so he would give credit, and I give credit to God for the castle still existing. It's the one of the only things I've ever seen in my lifetime. It's been a part of my entire life that's been attacked from all different directions by the powers that be, the forces that exist to control, maintain, govern humanity have come at it. Every aspect of government has come at it in one way or another, trying to stop it. And none of them have been able to stop Jim Bishop and God building Bishop Castle. And now another force of nature, a forest fire, burned right directly toward it. And the power that my dad was connected to saved it. There's a fire line where if you go walk down the road a ways, there's a fire line that one of the forest firefighters told me they don't go out like that. It's like a big line, like you just something put up a line says you're not burning past here.
Wow.
And so, you know, there's a paranormal aspect of it if you want to look at it that way. It's like there's a protective shield around the castle that has kept all invaders. My dad used to say that it's the last true castle in the world because it's actually under siege and winning the war.
Wow. No, I love it. So anybody who is in Colorado or traveling through or planning a trip or just want to grab your best bud and do a road trip, please, please, please go see the castle that Jim Bishop built for so many years and go say hi to the bishops. And yeah, I mean, you will not be disappointed. It is a very unique and magical place. And you know, again, it's just one of those places that you leave and you are planning your next trip to go there. It'll be a blast. Make a day out of it. We did a day out of it. We went, once we got off the exit, there was a place, I don't remember the name of it, but you know, you could do a burger and a shake, and we had lunch first and then we drove up there. And I guess we didn't have to do that, though, because you said there's a concession stand up there, right?
Yeah, it's my daughter and her fiance are running it. It's just roller deal items. It's simple stuff that I don't have to get the health department in. And if you want to have a good meal, sit down, support the locals, too, because, you know, what the reality is right now, the community around us has been affected by the fire worse than we have been.
Yeah.
I would highly encourage everybody coming to Bishop Castle to stop in the local communities, have lunch, spend a night in a local hotel or whatever you're going to do, and support things other than Bishop Castle as well, because I want the community to thrive.
Absolutely. So Dan, is there like a favorite go-to restaurant, or where do you enjoy going to?
So my first go-to place is the Rye Cafe in Rye. So there's only one little restaurant in Rye. He's got kind of a limited menu because he doesn't have a full-service kitchen, but he cooks really good food. You can taste the love in it. That's Rye Cafe. And then for a more of an upscale experience would be Three Sisters Tavern and Grill in Colorado City. Those are the two places
okay.
that I recommend most. There's wonderful food in Westcliff. Canyon City is a big supporter of Bishop Castle. Any way you can spend money in Canyon City. Pretty much all the communities around here, they show their support. So
yeah,
one family can only do so much, and I don't want to make any favorites. Rye Cafe is the place I spend most of my time at.
Okay. Well, that's really good to know. And so, yeah, guys, go get a meal at Three Sisters Tavern or Rye Cafe or any of those other phenomenal spots. And like he said, do an Airbnb or a hotel, a motel, whatever. Just make a little trip out of it. And, of course, go see the castle in Colorado nestled up in the mountains.
So the two closest businesses is the Lodge at San Isabel. There's a restaurant there. He just got reopened up. He went through some hardship, and that restaurant was closed for a while.
Mm.
He just got reopened up, and the fire has shut him down. I don't know if he's going to open back up through the summer, but I'm really hoping that he survives this.
Yeah.
Doesn't end up having to sell out or whatever. And then the little RV park and campground it's the Aspen Acres RV park and campground where the fire started. That I don't think they're opening back up this summer, but if they do, It's a good, wonderful place to spend a weekend. And the fire didn't actually completely devastate the landscape. It's one of the things we haven't talked about is, even though the fire is 102,000 acres, not all of it is burnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
The reality of it is, I would say 30% burnt, and the rest of it is still intact. You drive through some pretty harrowing burned up landscapes, but there's just so much green still on the mountain, so much survived, and so many houses that didn't burn down. And there's a lot of blessing. There's a lot of houses burned, and they talk about that, but not many people talk about how many were saved, how much didn't burn. And the fact that the drive up here, even though it's got some burn scar in it, is still beautiful.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that. And you know, you're right, people, obviously, fires are devastating, but it's not all destruction. There's still survival. And so
one of the first trips we made away from here when we got back up here, when they opened the highway up and I was able to come back up here, we headed down into Aspen Acres where the fire started. And I was expecting to see everything of everybody I know burn down, all the houses, because that's where it started. That was devastation.
Yeah.
And so we go for a little drive. And sure, there's some burned up stuff. And then, bam, this house is still there. It's all green. Those trees didn't burn. That house is there. That house is there. Uh-oh, those two are gone.
Yeah.
And then we go down the road a little bit further, and there's more houses that didn't burn, more houses. And this one's gone. And we got back, and I asked my wife, she was taking pictures of it all. I said, did you bother to take any pictures of the houses that didn't burn? And she didn't take a single picture of anything that wasn't just destruction.
Wow.
And I'm like, see how we are, humanity is just...
Right.
You just kind of like ignore the good stuff and you get drawn toward the negative aspect of everything. And I try really hard not to think like that. I look for the beauty and stuff. And you know, fire is a natural part of the process of the planet, and
yeah,
unfortunately, if it burns my stuff down, I'm not happy about it.
Right, totally hear you. I agree. I mean, that is so true, though. I mean, I've seen videos on Facebook when people were just barely able to go back over there. Now they're dealing with these floods, these flash floods, you know, with the rain, which is another heartbreak that they have to deal with. But there was one video where this guy, I think he had gone to check on his house and his neighbor's houses and the neighborhood. And he's doing this video and he was actually showing, okay, my friend's house, there it is, it's safe. And then right across the street, you could still see smoke. And it's like, oh, nope, their house is gone. And he did that for everybody. You know, he would go up the hill, drive up the little hill, and all of a sudden it was a whole new layout of the land. And yeah, it was very interesting because you got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know?
Yeah, well, I came up the mountain from Pueblo the other day through Beulah, and there is some serious decimation of that forest on the side of the mountain down in there, right?
Yeah.
There's a 9-mile dirt road that goes from not far from the castle down into Beulah, and 6 miles of that dirt road is just ash.
Oh, right? Man.
It's pretty amazing how well it burned up that steep timber area, and everything's gone back in there. So there's some really bad spots.
Yeah. Oh, so heartbreaking. I'm the person that I feel bad for the people, their homes, their businesses, but I also just feel so bad for the animals because they're having to evacuate too. We've had a hell of an uprising and bears coming into Pueblo. I saw one up close and we called it in, and it was a 1-year-old cinnamon bear, beautiful bear. They were actually able to trank it in front of us in a tree and save her and relocate her. And it's just, my heart definitely goes out to the people who have businesses that aren't being able to be open right now and their homes gone and the animals.
I think we would have been dealing with the bear problem this summer even if the fire hadn't happened, because the dry conditions were already creating problems before the fire started.
Right.
The bears were coming out of hibernation and there was no natural food growing for them. We were having problems with the fire, definitely pushed them down. Most of what I got around here, the wildlife hasn't been displaced. Those cameras that I was talking about, mm-hmm. watching the deer and the elk and all of that wildlife is still on those cameras.
Oh, good.
Because the fire didn't burn to the cameras.
Right.
And behind the cameras is all still pristine mountain up there. The scary part about that is that half of the mountain behind me is still at great risk of fire, except we've been getting 3 or 4 good storms a week ever since we got back up here.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why they don't have any more containment on the fire line right now is because the rain keeps making it hard for them to do their burning operations where they consider the fire contained because they burned the fuel between their bulldozer line and the fire. That's why the numbers floating around at the same number is because they can't actually do what they have to do to consider containment.
Wow. I mean, at Pueblo, we've gotten some good rains too. I'm glad that Colorado needs to be saturated, you know, get some water for the earth and the people and animals and whatever else. But I'm glad that now it's at the point where it's mostly contained and now they're just trying to, you know, prepare for if there is a next fire, the beetle kill, get rid of all of that. And so, again, firefighters, thank you.
Yep.
So, Dan, is there anything before we end this, what has become an epic episode, is there anything else you'd like to say?
If you come visit Bishop Castle, be careful. You enter at your own risk and enjoy yourself. Have a good time. But don't do anything you're not comfortable with, because I'm not forcing you to climb it.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have people there employed to carry you back down. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
Well, Dan, thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking all things Bishop Castle with you and the fire and just everything.
Right on. I've enjoyed it too. Had a good time.
Me too. What a really neat guy. I mean, what a neat family. And so, big shout out to Dan Bishop for being on the podcast. So glad that he made almost a full recovery with that mishap that he had. So, so glad. And I'm ever so grateful that the castle was not destroyed. And again, thank you to all the firefighters, local and who traveled to different states to do this. I know there were firefighters from Alaska and Utah and California. And I'm sure there are so many other states that I'm not mentioning. But to every single one of you who were away from their families fighting this fire and other fires, thank you. Thank you so, so much. And I'm so glad that Dan is still around. He did talk about suicide earlier. And so I do want to mention for anybody, as I usually do with these episodes when suicide is mentioned, I want to throw out that number to anybody who is struggling right now. 1-800-273-8255.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they are all amazing. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to lose a wink of sleep over it, my friends. You could hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Blueberry, Deezer, Downcast, CastBox. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcasts lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will see you next week.